Hello, and you are listening to I'm a Diva podcast, a podcast dedicated to promoting our female creatives in the music industry. So if you are any form of creator, a dedicated participant in the music industry, then we are here to promote you, to share your story, to share your challenges, and to grow together and to have some fun along the way and learn a thing or two. You are listening to I'm a Diva podcast. I'm a GV. I'm a female rapper in the music industry, growing to develop my career and facing challenges and noticing how females are underrepresented. This is why I decided to create this podcast for all of you to listen to and to promote our wonderful females and to be able to connect with others and learn from each other. So I welcome you to I'm a Diva podcast. Hello, and you're listening to I'm a Diva podcast. This is your talk show host, Edgy V, and we're back with another wonderful episode. This is season 2, episode 9, so we're actually moving towards the end of season 2, which is really, really fun. But of course, last but not least at all, we've got Rebecca today. And Becca is a singer, songwriter from Cork, Ireland. Her style is infused with R&B, folk, jazz, and soul. Rebecca started performing professionally in Australia, where she was involved in many cover bands, playing weekly in Darling Heard Tokyo Hotel. Not long, she joined two original bands, which opened up her already flair for writing, music, and performing. The Wise Man Circus band, Blues Rock Soul, recorded her first album with them called Black Hound back in 2011. Together, they performed various venues around Australia and performed at Blues Festival in Sydney. She has an album coming out later end of 2021, which we're going to talk to her about in just a little bit. Kind Country Blues Folk original band Rebecca was a runner-up in the Toyota Search for the Star Maker in Tamworth. This original band, Rebecca, was lead singer for Jonathan Hibbard's band, where he wrote all the material for the band. Rebecca then collaborated with K1 Sha, rapper from Sydney, and she performed her original song in Luna Park, Sydney, in front of 2,000 people. Rebecca returned home to Cork and set up a band called Poets Whisper, where both her and Dave Tracy collaborated on their music. Dave creates the instrumental and Rebecca writes lyrics and melody lines. Their style is very blues folk. She grew up on her mother blasting out Celine Dion, Queen, Garth Brooks, Gloria Estefan, but she says, "I listen to absolutely anything. I adore a song that takes me away from reality and just nourishes me while I listen. But I had to say Aretha Franklin, Amy Winehouse, Etta Jones." And her genre is R&B, soul, folk, jazz, alternative rock. And she is absolutely very versatile. Rebecca, welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm so excited.
So happy to talk to you. Oh my gosh. So to those that don't know, to our listeners, myself and Rebecca, we would have probably had no way of meeting each other, but we actually got connected through a different music project and we were very, very blessed. And we didn't end up going ahead with the project. Doesn't really matter what the project is, but we actually ended up maintaining our relationship. We were so happy to meet each other. So I'm very, very happy to have you on the show. And I have to say to you, so much talent in this woman. Oh my gosh, so much talent. Such an amazing voice. And the fact that she's so versatile as well is just like, I know she's going to be very, very good and very well known because of that, because I think that's a big part of kind of getting your name out there. So Rebecca, let's talk to you a little bit about kind of like the very beginning of your music journey. Where did it all begin for you? How did you fall in love with music? Like, where did it all start?
Okay. Oh my God, I always hate this question. It's like, it was back when I was 4 years of age. You know, when people say that, they're like, well, I knew I could sing when I was young, but I actually did. And I do remember being really small and like listening to music and just getting this like feeling inside where I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I used to go down and I'd make my sister do some routines with me. We do like a Whitney Houston song and we'd go down and we'd like, Mom, watch. And they were like, oh my God, yeah, you're great, guys, you know. Yeah. And I remember being in school and very young and being in like choir in like St. Columbus in my primary school. And I had this voice in me, but I could never get it out. And it's so like, I hear other singers saying that as well. It's like, I knew I had this voice inside me. And I remember then I'd sing, but it was actually nerves that used to kill me. And I would be singing and I'm like, I don't sound like that when I'm at home on my own. Why do I sound like this now? So like, then I suppose I moved into secondary school and like people would have always known that I was like, they'd be like, oh, Rebecca's a singer. And then I got into school and I actually just remembered there when you were calling up my bio, I was like, I actually recorded an album when I was like 16 with this guy. He was a rapper called TK and it was his own music. So he wrote all the lyrics. But I remember being in a recording studio, I was like 16, 17, like doing his singing. And I was like standing so still. I was like singing, ah, oh my God. I was like, this is too much for me. Like I was like singing, but I remember my friend Kate with me and she came with me and she was like, Becca, like you sing way better than that. Again, I was so nervous. I was like, oh my God, like I couldn't even hold the microphone properly.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So then I'm in school and like, you know, when you're doing your junior and leaving cert, I did the leaving actually, I did music for my leaving cert. And we had like this, our music teacher was like, I'm just going to set up like a presentation and like, you can all sing your songs and you have four songs to do. And I was singing songs with another two girls. So I did, 12 songs. So I did their songs with them. But then when I had to go do my own, my teacher was like, what? And I was like, I can't. I was like, I'm going to faint. I'm obviously, you know, that was like anxiety, you know what I mean? And nervousness. And I was like, I can't miss. And I was like, literally like, I'll start crying if you put me out there. It was so, oh my God. Like, I feel like I'm bringing up that fear again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then I left school and, you know, I really wanted to go and do music actually in college, but I didn't get into a course. And then I ended up getting in and I got a job and I was like, oh, I'll go work for a year and I'll go back to college. But like, you know, yeah. Didn't. So I moved to Australia then with some of my friends. I think I was like 24 or something. And yeah, I suppose I was like, look, I don't know anyone here. I can't be nervous here. Yeah. So I went and I applied and I got into this big band and like, oh my God, it was like a 7-piece band and they used to play in Darlinghurst down in a Tokyo Hotel. It's like a really famous pub. This is my first live gig ever. So I remember like bringing my best friend down with me. And I used to do this thing as well, actually, with my friends where they'd make me sing and I'd make them all look at the wall. So they'd be like, Becca, sing a song for us. And I'd be like, everyone look at the wall. And they'd be like, ah, come on. And I'd be like, look at the wall. Just can't look at me. And when I went and auditioned for this band, like my friend Marisha was there and I said, stop looking at me. She was like, Becca. And I said, look over there, like, you know, I cut, oh God, it's so funny, like. So I auditioned and the guys were like, oh, you're great. Oh my God, I remember it was Aretha Franklin, Chain of Fools. So I sang that and they said, okay, cool. They gave me a set list. I didn't even know what a set list was. And they said, right, we have a gig there in next weekend and like, you're obviously going to be the lead singer of the band. And I was like, oh Jesus, I was so overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God. So anyway, I remember going, doing the gig and I'd say I had like 7 vodkas and I was just still so sober and so nervous. And I remember my friends were coming into the pub and I was just like, hey, how are you? You know, trying to not be nervous. And they were like, oh my God, she's so nervous. She's going to croak on stage. So I started singing and it didn't wash away from me. Now I was still really nervous, but just the feeling I had when people were looking at me singing, I was like, oh God, this is amazing. This is what I, you know what I mean? So then I was like, this is my drug. I'll give me more. So yeah, God, you know, actually just talking about that, like when I started singing, I did like depend a lot. Like I'd be like, I have to have a few drinks to calm me. And you know, then after a while I was like, right, I can't do this because like it doesn't damage your, well, it does actually, but you don't sing in your proper style. And you know, obviously, you know, you can just get a bit silly then on stage and stuff. But it was funny then I had met someone then in I was staying in a hostel who had come to my gig that night. And he was setting up a band called Wiseman Circus. He's actually one of my really good friends now, Ben Chakravarti. And so we set up then Wiseman Circus, blues, rock, folk. And it's like everything I feel in life is like a stepping stone. And I learned from all those musicians in the band. I mean, they were all amazing musicians in that
band Crazy Fish. And then I'd met another guy then called Jonathan Hibbert, and he had a band called Kind. And then I sang his songs. And then he, you know, we got called to be involved in this Toyota Search for the Star Maker in Tamworth. It's actually kind of like, it's a real country. It's like the X Factor of country music in Australia. It's really big over there. So yeah, I didn't kind of realize until like, got on stage there how big the stage was. Oh my god, like, again, I was like, oh, how am I doing this? The nerves still got to me. Yeah. Then like, I, that was like 2 years in doing it, and it was tough. Like, it's people say it's like practice, just, you have to put yourself out there if you want to do it. Like, nothing in life is easy. If that was easy to get on stage, I'm sure everyone would be doing it, because it's not. And it's probably easier to some people, but I just thoroughly enjoy it. Now I'm doing it so long, but, you know, I would say to people that are like nervous and feel it, and like, everyone goes through it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I think, thank you for sharing that, Rebecca. Thank you so much. I think a lot of times what tends to happen as well is that if you've ever been like that position where you have actually other artists there that you look up to at your gig or something, or they're on the same lineup and they like watch your set, I think sometimes that can put extra pressure where you mightn't be like as nervous if you're like, oh, this is just a general audience. But if you have someone who kind of is good at what they do and they're like, oh, what are they gonna think of me? And I think sometimes that is the thing that's been getting to me sometimes, like, is the people actually look up to and like, oh, they're actually really good performers. I hope I don't mess up on stage. But yeah, thank you so much for opening up. And I think you're absolutely right. I think a part of that is where you actually learn to channel your attention towards like the stuff that you do enjoy about performing. And I think you learn to kind of lean into that more and more and more as you get better and better and more confident in your craft. And then you're like, I'm actually getting better at this. And especially when people are responding positively, it's like a positive reinforcement as well. So it kind of builds a little backbone of kind of like, well, other people liked it, so must be not bad, you know? And so that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. It's so nice to kind of hear like how you went from, you kind of took a big leap when you think about it, from not singing to hello and hopping on stage. And you kind of skipped the whole middle part of like the whole open mic nights or something, or building confidence. You kind of just pushed yourself and put yourself out there. So that's amazing. That's a very brave thing to do. And that you managed to kind of hold the nerves during that is like another thing. Like you said, maybe the alcohol helped a little bit, but like in the end, it really is you that's doing it, you know, and maybe alcohol just helps to like numb out the nerves and whatnot. So thank you for that. I want to just kind of move into kind of in terms of, you mentioned your influences, kind of sounds and people and artists and whatnot, but what style did you kind of move into first, or like what drew you into, or like who did you want to kind of sound like at the very beginning, and what do you sound like now?
So I've always been really kind of like that. I feel like I don't have the desire really to sound like anyone, you know, that sort of way. And I'm very much like want to actually not sound like anyone and have my own sound and for it to be kind of unique. Like, I know people always, they just do, and it's like, it's a nice thing, people go, oh, you sound like this person. But my influences, it's so weird because it always changes for me. Like, I will love an artist, but then I will move on to someone else. Yeah. And I just, that's what I love so much about music, that there's so much music out there, and depending on what way I'm feeling or who I'm feeling I want to listen to, there's just such a nice variety of, like, I adore listening to like really sad music. I just love, you know, slow, sad kind of ballady music, sometimes songs that can just take me away. Like, I'm loving like kind of neo soul, blues, R&B. But I guess when I did start out singing, I would have probably been influenced a lot by, you know, Aretha Franklin, Etta James, the old school kind of Motown bluesy songs. I know you mentioned there in my bio, it's so funny because my mom's like obsessed with music, and I actually messaged her today, I'm like, Mom, I just need to just, am I right in saying you, when I was younger, you know, you had Gloria Estefan, Mamas and the Papas, you know, Garth Brooks and Queen, and then she sent me back like another 15. She's like, yeah, and all these as well. It's so funny, but I think that's where I remember being really small and and like my mom having like, you know, the old records, and like I just remember Celine Dion always blasting, you know, and just like she just loved music, and just there's always just really good music. And then my dad's like, you know, he loves like Luke Kelly and pure Irishy songs. But I do enjoy that then as well. But like myself, I suppose who I'm listening to kind of right now, but my ultimate person, I actually told you this before, is definitely Amy Winehouse. Just yeah. I just love the way she came into the scene when it was so kind of saturated at the time with like people trying to be like everyone else, and then she just had this jazzy, bluesy soul. It was like, oh my God, this voice is yeah. like velvety butter. Oh my God, it was amazing. Yeah. And I think just, it was actually the way she wrote the songs. They were so real. They yeah. were so raw. Yeah. And like, she was heartbroken. And you could be like, oh my God. Like, oh, I just love the way she kind of like her descriptive and the way she kind of talks about yeah. stuff. It's like, she doesn't care. She's just like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to live in this feeling. And this is the way I am. That's what I love about kind of musicians when they're real, or when they write a song that is from kind of, I suppose, from the heart, whether it's about heartbreak or not, it doesn't always have to be. Yeah. But yeah, I suppose to me, it's like a song can take me away, and like I could just be gone for a while and be like in this. It can take you back to a moment in time, or it can bring you, you know, like the way a smell can do it. But music to me, oh my God, I feel like it's such a kind of, it's a healer, it's a drug, it's like medicine. I just feel like, oh, I just think it's the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah. So you kind of want your music to have the same kind of effect.
Yeah,
like your intention. Yeah. Now you mentioned, you know, the way Amy Winehouse used to write her songs. Is that someone you would kind of like look up to in terms when like writing your own music, or who else do you think is kind of amazing at just particular lyricism, you know, that kind of inspired you?
Yeah, so I think Lauryn Hill would probably be the number one. Like, it's just the way she wrote. God, she's just like a human dictionary though, isn't she? It's yeah. like, wow, this is amazing. But I guess you know, the way songs, you kind of want it to be catchy and clever, but yeah. simple. And you know, they're all the one, like I think Alicia Keys is great at writing, you know, she's got, you know, yeah. just the kind of songs that stay in your head. Obviously her at the moment, I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard of Yeba. Oh my God, she's just like amazing. And actually who I'm kind of loving at the moment is Snow Allegra. She's I'm not too sure, like she, like her music is, she could have been back in the 90s as well. It's like kind of old R&B.
Cool.
But I just love, I'm loving that kind of style of music at the moment. Real smooth, flowing, easy, you know. Yeah, but like it's funny because it depends who I'm writing music with, because I'm writing music at the moment with a lot of different kind of groups, and their style and genre is completely different. So I'm actually writing, well, I actually have written two songs with Kevin Surrey. He's like a producer from Greece. He's amazing. So he's an album coming out actually in, I think, March, or songs are coming out. But one is trance, and the other one's like a house kind of a mix, and two really different styles to what I would have put myself in the genre. But I have always said, like, I'm not putting myself into just a little box, because I just think, yeah, I love to be versatile. I love so many different types of music as well. I'm not going to be snobby and be like, no, because we actually ended up writing a song together, and it was just, it was crazy. It's like this kind of like 007 deep emotionally blues song. It was so cool, but it's got like a real, it's a background of like a house track. So it was just yeah. like, yeah, I just think be open to anything, and just see where it takes you, because it's crazy. That song actually was an instrumental as well. And he was like, I don't see lyrics over that. And I said, oh, I have this really weird lyric. And I sent it to him. He was like, I love it. And then he changed his song to fit my lyric. So it was, it's just, it's so, I love that process actually. It was so exciting that, and I said to him, I was like, oh my God, like the song, the way it was at the end to what it was at the start, it's just, I love that. It's cool to kind of just see, oh my God, we were here and now we're here and ah.
Oh my gosh. That, like, I think that's a really, really good point to make to our listeners about kind of being open to other ways of doing things, and kind of, you know, giving things a chance before you say no. Because I think too many people kind of be like, no, this is the kind of thing I'm going for, and it's good to kind of have a certain sound, but if you're going to be an artist that maybe, like, say for example, wants to just put their name out there at the beginning, you know, try different things. And actually this is, if, especially when you're starting out, it's a great time to actually try different things, because once your kind of sound develops into something, it's going to be harder to kind of go into something else. To an extent, but I mean, like, at the beginning is the best time to really just play around and play around with different producers, different musicians and different genres and stuff like that. So thank you for emphasizing that. And I mean, that's fun. Look at it as a bit of fun, a bit of creative fun, and give, you know,
fun in COVID.
Yeah, you never know what you're gonna come up with, and sometimes you surprise yourself and you surprise other people. So it's a great confidence builder as well, I think. You know, keep things flowing, just keep the creativity going, you know. And I think the worst thing is when you get creator's block or creative blocks and stuff like that. So keep things going by giving things a chance and giving things a go. So thanks for that, Rebecca. Now, in terms of kind of like what you were kind of talking about a little bit, like R&B and smooth kind of sounds and kind of, like you said, buttery kind of vocals, is that kind of where you feel, you know, from your own personal original stuff that you're going to be taking yourself, where do you think, what type of genre do you think is going to be heading? Is that the kind of sound we should be expecting from Rebecca?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm like, oh, people are like, I can't wait to hear your music. And I'm like, well, I've loads of music coming out at the moment, collaborated with other people. So like the Wise Men Circus album actually is coming out. God, I went to Australia back in 2019. So I met, like, there was like 13 musicians there. We actually ended up recording live. There was like 6 songs. Oh, it was crazy. But it's still in production because, like, obviously with COVID as well over there, you know, everything is just kind of stalled. But there's just a lot of, I suppose, you know, work to do behind the scenes and just kind of changing the song then constantly. But so that's very much kind of like blues, I suppose a bit of alternative rock, kind of, well, I would say psychedelic, but none of the songs really are anymore. But yeah, you know, so that's that style. But I would say kind of like Motown as well. Like, there's a few songs in there that I'm thinking like Ray Charles vibes, you know, totally get from one song that me and Ben wrote. And I was actually just thinking all of Georgia when I was like, oh, this song reminds me of that. But we kind of wrote, I actually called it New York. So I wrote it about New York, but it's about a man being in love with a woman, but I actually called it New York. So he's talking about her, but it's actually the place New York. So it's cool. But yeah, so I guess the music that Rebecca does is right. Yeah, I'm going to say soul. I'm going to put myself there with soul, and just because I feel as well that my music comes from my soul. So deep, isn't it? But you know what I mean? I sing, I'm a very emotional singer. Like, you've heard me sing before. I just have to get the emotion. And then, like, with the Poet's Whisper stuff that me and Dave do together, like, I'm going to say kind of bluesy, folky, kind of indie, but a mix then. Like, I called down to him there like a couple of weeks ago and we wrote these two cool little tunes, and they're very much like the soul jazzy stuff that we're talking about now. And I'm like, that's where I really feel like that it's really natural for me to just write a song like that. So I guess, like, you know, your kind of jazzy chords and that. But for me, when I'm like writing a song, sometimes, like, trying to learn the piano at the moment, but it's certain chords actually to me, I'm like, oh, it brings you to this place and you can, you know, write a song from there. But yeah, I guess definitely the soul. But, you know, I'm loving, like, actually playing around with producers at the moment and doing maybe kind of like vocals kind of solely over the house music. I think that sounds really cool as well. And wood funk as well. I'm actually doing a couple of songs with a buddy. He's a DJ / producer, and his music, it's kind of funky house soul. But God, like, you know, you're saying this and I'm like, Jesus, everything is kind of falls into each other though. All music is intertwined at one stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Like subgenre, subfusions, definitely.
Yeah, like it's hard, but it's, you know, when people say to me, what is your style? What's your genre? Sometimes I'm like, oh God, I hate to say, because, you know, one day I could write a really soul-y song, but then I could come at you with a big dance song then. Yeah. I'm like, okay, this is what I just felt. But then I'm learning to play the guitar as well. And I suppose the songs that I'm kind of playing on that would be very folky. You know, it's just kind of naturally comes to me. It's weird. It's when someone plays a certain, says with the Poet's Whisper songs, Dave plays the guitar and he plays it so well. And it's like these songs come out of me, they'd be kind of folky, really storytelling songs, you know? So they're very much, a lot of them are about heartbreak.
the best thing to write about.
I think like you said, if you're going to be writing about emotion, a lot of times breakups have very strong emotional charge, so of course it's gonna facilitate that. I can relate to that. I've written a lot of breakup songs, definitely. So Rebecca, we're actually going to jump into the part of the podcast that's called I'm a Diva 5 Questions. So this is the part of the podcast that lets our listeners know a little bit into your like diva ways, so we're going to jump on in. Number one, what's the best way for a diva to start her day?
Open up your eyes and breathe. I was thinking about this during the week and I was like, I'm going to say like do yoga and stuff. But what I've actually started doing to myself, for myself, is wake up and take some deep breaths and don't go on my phone, because the first thoughts that I want to have are natural thoughts. I don't want to go on my phone and see something and maybe get annoyed or maybe feel threatened by something or being like, oh God, why did I, you know?
Yeah.
So what I've started doing is when I wake up is just to have some deep breaths and just actually say 3 nice things to myself and then say 2 things that I'm grateful for and then get out of bed and do a stretch and start work.
Nice.
And, you know, I feel like if you're just, you need to be good to yourself, kind. We all need to be really kind to ourselves, especially with what's going on right now, because it's so hard. Like, this is so hard what's going on. Like we were saying, it's so unnatural. You know, we all need to give ourselves a big high five for it, you know, getting through this. So, you know, yeah, love yourself. You know what I mean? Just be happy with who you are and what you're about and try not to let that negativity get in.
100%. Thank you, Rebecca. Number 2, what do you think the ultimate diva mantra is?
Okay. So I was thinking, I was like, oh, there's so much stuff that you'd want to say. But, and I mean this in a way now, like, so what I would say is, if you need something done, do it yourself. My mom used to always say that to me. And I'm saying this in a way as, do you know the way sometimes you kind of depend on people to, oh, they'll help me do that, or should I let them do it? No. If you need something done, you have to do it yourself. Don't expect that someone's going to do it. Now, they might do it, but they might not do it in the same quality that you're going to get it done. So, and if someone does do something for you, have a check over it. You know what I mean? But yeah, and what I mean is not trusting people, but I really do think that if you're putting something out there, your product, like be all over it, be heavily involved and don't just leave it up to people that you think that they'll know. Even talking about producers, you know, don't just have a listen to what they're kind of, their final mixes, and if you want to tweak it, you know, you're involved in the project, and that goes with your whole life as well, you know.
Thank you. That's really, really nice, really, really potent. Number 3, what do you think the ultimate diva quality is above all others?
Okay, this is probably going to go back into what I was just saying as well, but I really think for yourself, I think you need to love yourself before, if you want people to love you, to love. I'm going on about music, but whatever you do in the world, you know, you need to be proud of yourself, be happy, you know, be proud of where you came from and, you know, your story, your background. And I think as well, not letting, because I've been doing a lot of this lately, negative thoughts, I'm really trying to not let them take over my life. Or, you know, the way you might feel when I'm threatened is probably the wrong word, but you know, when you might feel a bit like, oh God, mm-hmm. if you maybe posted a song or something or you didn't and then someone else did and you're like, oh, I should be doing this. It's like, no, just calm down, relax and just be proud of you and just believe in you and yourself.
Thank you. That's really, really insightful. Number 4, can you describe your ultimate diva achievement to date?
Okay. Being on this podcast. I think, yeah, this is another one that I was thinking of and I was like, oh my God, I can't pick one. Like, I've met amazing people, I've recorded albums and I've worked with, so everyone I've worked with, I'm so happy, and everyone that I'm going to be working with as well, I'm just so excited about this year. But for me, I'm so happy that I've actually followed my dreams and I never gave up and I'm still here today and I'm here telling you my story. You know, I'm just I'm proud of me, and I'm delighted that I didn't give up when, you know, I didn't give in to actually the little thoughts in my head, the little voice that was like, oh, you're shit, you're not good, everyone's laughing at you, you know, this. So I'm so happy that I've overcome that and that I'm here now.
Very inspiring. Thank you. So last part of the I'm a Diva 5 questions. What's your diva deal breaker in work or personal life?
I guess it would be working with the wrong people to try and get somewhere. You know, let's say I'm not going to work with someone in my personal life or my work life if they don't believe in my music and my writing skills. You know, if they're like, look at you as like just a cash cow or something like that, or if they're just, you know, if they don't actually understand or believe in what you're producing, what's the point, you know? So definitely,
yeah,
be strong and just work with people that make you grow. You know, you're a little flower and you need to be watered with nice positivity all the time. And you need people, you need to surround yourself with really positive people, beautiful people. You don't need these negative people around you. You know, they need to be booted out the door. Bye. Yeah.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. I'm really interested to hear kind of like the fact that you've been kind of in the music scene in Australia and you can kind of compare two kind of different continents and kind of like the music scene. What do you think the kind of representation for women is in Australia? Did you feel welcome as a female? Did you feel like included? You know, what was your experience in comparison to Ireland, and how do you feel Ireland is different in that way?
Yeah, I like, oh my God, I felt like the music industry over there, there's just men everywhere. Like I was like leading a band of all men all the time, like I was, but I couldn't have felt more welcome then as well, you know what I mean? As I said, Ben was, we ended up like, he's one of my besties, you know, we write music together, but I started a band without him and I felt really, oh God, I was so young as well. And the guys, they all had about 20 years on me, and you know, I felt really insecure, but I never once felt, I suppose, I never felt I'm a woman and they're a man. You know, they never made me kind of feel like that. I just felt like they were like, she's really young and she's like running the band for us.
Yeah.
But the music scene over there, it's tough because the blues music scene, it's not, because I was in Sydney. Sydney's all about like dance music. The trance scene is huge over there, you know, the electro house and everything. So like, you know, it was tough for us. But I felt then when I came home, that, and this could have been as well because it was years ago, but like, I mean, I felt as well when I was in Australia, there was always just like, it was because the bands I was in, you know, there was always just the drummers were lads and the guitar players, you know, they were like these bluesy, crazy guitar players. But yeah, when I came home then I've met so many musicians when I've come home, and you know, it's crazy because when I was in Australia, I thought I'd meet way more people, but it was all Australians I met. And then when I came home, I've met such a like a diverse kind of culture, and it's been great. You know, there's loads of different bands. I was in a couple of cover bands. I was talking to you about my original band as well. So yeah, love it.
That's amazing. I'm really glad to hear, kind of like in comparison to the size of the country of Australia and then the size of a country in Ireland, and hearing that you're saying, you know, it's got so much type of music to offer and it is kind of known as the island of music, and to kind of you confirm that, it just kind of goes to show, and nice to know, you know, that that's the way it is. And hopefully I think in the last couple of years as well, I think it really has learned to kind of welcome different styles of music, and people are not afraid to try different things as well. And they're kind of, you know, saying, you know, I'm gonna just go for it. So I think it's becoming more welcoming, kind of like different sounds and different styles. So it's really, really good to hear. Now, in terms of kind of like the music industry, this is my favorite question to ask, is what do you think the future is for females in the music industry?
I do feel like there's this, maybe it is, I was going to say unspoken, but it's not. But there's this feeling that just women are feeling so empowered lately. And I love that. And especially in Ireland, you know, with the women in harmony, you know, I love that. And I'm even seeing myself, there's just so many Irish women who we're seeing a lot more of. Like there's Ruth Ann and Lyra. Laura and you know, all these amazing vocalists, musicians that you wouldn't really have seen before. And I did kind of find that, like, before, it was probably, yeah, saturated a lot with men, which is, it's fine, but it's so nice as a woman to see other women and just, you know, being boss ladies, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's positive, really positive. You know, we can only go where we're going up, you know. We're going to keep going up as well, which is good.
Now, towards the last, the last question of the podcast, is there anything at all you want to kind of mention to our listeners? Anything you want to leave a note on, or anything like that, that you want to kind of say?
Yeah, maybe firstly, but I've got a couple of singles coming out in March.
Do tell.
I think I mentioned them a while ago. Yeah, so one is, it's going to be out the last week of March. I think it's the Friday the 26th. But I think my parting note would be to just say, you know, don't try and be like anyone else. Just find your voice, find your style, whatever you do, whether it's, you know, writing or painting or playing or you know, singing. Don't ever try and copy someone, because you're never going to be a true artist then. I think believe in yourself, as I was saying a while ago, believe in and believe what you're doing. You know, if you can believe in your style of music, whatever it is, you can even make up your own style. Just have faith in yourself. Keep pushing. The more no's you get, the better, believe me, because you know then that you're getting closer to reaching your goals. So just, yeah, don't give up.
I really like that you emphasized the whole kind of accept the no's to get closer to the yes. And I think that's a really good note to leave on to all of our listeners. And a big thank you to Rebecca. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. And I really can't wait to hear all your new music coming out. And of course, to our listeners, all of the social media platforms and all of the music profiles are going to be included in the description as always. So you guys can keep up with everything that Rebecca's doing and do check out her music. Her voice is incredible and it's going to hypnotize you. So and for now, I would just say we can't wait to share you with our last episode and to finish up season 2. And thank you so much for supporting this podcast, and until next time, this is Edgy V.
I'm a Diva podcast launched their Patreon account, so if you like what we do and want to support us, head over to our link and there will be some exclusive content for exclusive subscribers. So head over there now, and thank you so much for your support.